Lenny Kravitz was at the gym and he posted a video of himself working out and he was wearing leather pants and a see-through mesh shirt.
I'm not sure if you're aware of this, Anna, but that is the Lenny Kravitz uniform.
Yeah.
Right? So,
yeah.
I mean, he's been wearing that for about 30, 40 years. God don't ever stop, Lenny Kravitz.
Yeah. Raven, producer John, producer Sean, this made me laugh because how do you do a proper squat when you're wearing skin-tight leather pants?
Very squeakily.
Yeah.
Very squeakily.
Squeakily.
That sounds just...
I don't know if it's a word, but it's true.
It's like nails on a chalkboard. I don't want to hear
you
that.
You think it would, like, you know, grab itself, right? Like, get a grip on itself, basically, the leather-to-leather contact going on here. But, I mean, was he oiled? I don't understand.
It's getting real weird.
How would it be possible?
Corey wrote on Twitter, "Where do I get those Lululennies?" I was thinking about it, though. There was a time where I was at the gym every single day. Those days have passed, right? But I still will walk in, and you look around, and for the most part, there's a gym uniform. People are wearing leggings, sweatpants, whatever it be, tank top, t-shirt. That's really it. But when somebody breaks the mold, they get everyone's attention. And you wonder, are they doing it on purpose or not?
There is
this woman. She would wear the skimpiest sports bra I'd ever seen in my life. And she would go 100% on the treadmill. Are you trying to make everybody in here look at you? Like, there should be, like, something where, like, you got to cover yourself a little bit.
Oh, no, Anna, that was me.
Oh, sorry, yeah.
Right.
You're very attractive in that sports bra.
Thank you very much.
I think part of it is that you want to check yourself out because you do want to feel good about yourself when you go into the gym. If I go into the gym and I'm wearing, like, a huge baggy t-shirt where, like, you know, the sleeves are, like, not doing my arms any credit at all and, like, blah, 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 I'm going to look at myself in the mirror and I'm going to be like, man, I need to be in here a lot more. But then other days when I'm wearing a shirt that fits like really well and I work out and I can see like, you know, like some stuff happening, and I'm like, oh yeah, this is good. It is motivation. I do get wanting to feel good about yourself while you're working out.
You know, the old town I used to live in when I used to go to the gym there, there used to be this guy that would go in every Saturday morning and he would wear like, and I'm talking like a thick, full turtleneck.
Wow.
And that weirded me out because this guy, and I'm talking, this guy would be profusely sweating. Like this thing would be drenched by the time he left. And it's not like, you know, at first I'm like, maybe he's doing it to lose, it'll maybe help him lose
right.
weight if
yes.
he's sweating more. No, but this guy looks like he's a professional bodybuilder. Like he's big and built. So I'm like, what are you doing wearing a turtleneck in a gym when you're fine? You know, you got to where people want to get to. You achieve what you need to achieve. Hey,
you got to remember that that guy wants to get further. So, yeah. I mean, no matter how ripped you are, the better shape you're in. I mean, that guy could be cutting weight. He could be doing anything. He could be coming from work. If he's that dedicated, that's what it takes. But I think that it's one or two outfits, right? Like it's either, like John said, you want to feel good. You know, when you're feeling good or you're making progress, it's one thing. If you feel like you're pushing yourself through it and you hate your life and the way you look that day, you might be incognito hiding it under like, you know, big bulky clothes or whatever.
Yeah.
But it's hard to keep going like that. I mean, there's mirrors in the gym for a reason.
How about the one guy at my old gym who used to wear jean cutoffs and Timberlands all the time? And I'd be like, what are you doing here? Like, I know he's not running cardio or he's not on like the elliptical.
You walked into the wrong building.
I just see him like squatting weights and I'm like, what, your jorts you have on and your Timberlands, like, and with the laces not even all laced up. Like,
well, of course
open
not.
Still.
You can't wear them laced up. They're Tims.
How do you go to the gym without your shoes laced?
Well, you need the ankle mobility, you see.
I mean,
if you lace them up too much, then the jorts with the ankle.
See, I was going to say with the jorts and the Timberlands, I'm like, no, that guy's booted up. He's ready for something to happen.
You know what? I mean, it's all better than what the guys at my gym used to wear. The old men wore nothing. And if they were wearing anything at all, it was a headband.
It's always that guy in the locker room.
Always. Why are you all naked for like the next 45 minutes? Why are you all standing around naked?
If you're over 70, that's the rule. You must be naked.
Who do you think makes up the saddest generation?
I mean, how would you even judge that? I'm not sure. What is the degree?
Well, here's the thing, is that they did a study, and this is what they said.
New survey reveals that Generation Z is less happy than the rest of us. People from ages 12 to 26 say they are having a harder time than previous generations did at that age.
Why do you think that?
I mean, first off, what would let them know that they ever knew that, though, right? Obviously, they've only been that age one time, so they don't know what it was like for those before them. 12 to 26 is difficult for everybody.
I think.
And it was for you, too, at that point. You know,
course.
When you were a teenager, extremely difficult.
How do you compare yourself at 12 or 13 or 14 to where you were when you were 25 or 26?
Right.
I feel like that is a huge gap, but I do think that there's different challenges. And I think that social media has a lot to do with it because all of a sudden, you know, all we ever saw was what was on TV.
Mm-hmm.
That was essentially what was put in on our face. And then what they see is coming from all angles, and it's not great a lot of times.
Well, I don't know what you mean. Are you talking about the news of the world, or
no,
you know, you're talking about bullying?
I think there's online bullying.
Well,
I think there's a lot of negativity. I think there's a lot more comparing yourself to one another. I think there's a lot more hate because of social media. I think that it's not filtered, and I think the next generation won't have so much of that because I think we're figuring it out how to police it. But they're living in the time where it's like cowboy country. Like, nobody knows how to handle it and how to filter it and how to save our kids from looking at this stuff.
I mean, all these things are personal choices, many of these things, right? So unless you restrict people's access to things, I don't know that there's going to be some wave of acknowledgement where they're all of a sudden going to decide that this is not how I'm going to live my life moving forward. So I think the main thing with online bullying is there's no escape. Right. There used to be, if you were getting bullied, you get bullied on the school bus. You get bullied, at, you know, at those areas. And then when you went home, you had a bit of a safe haven, hopefully. Nowadays, social media, if you're getting access, that's to you every hour, everywhere you go.
So there is some good news, though. They did find this.
Researchers say two factors were correlated with happiness for Gen Z. Those include the amount of sleep they got on weekends and a sense of purpose.
I think that's for all of us, not just Gen Z. When I get a good sleep on the weekend, I'm a different person on Monday.
Sure.
And if you have a purpose when you're doing things that make you feel fulfilled, of course you're happier, right?
I mean, it's somewhat difficult to find that purpose at 12 years old. But yeah. Obviously, you know, that's why you search for activities that please them.
Also trending today.
Good night, Barbies. I'm definitely not thinking about death anymore.
No, she's not. Margot Robbie, she was all over the news yesterday because they just had a big announcement for her next project.
Margot Robbie is set to partner with Hasbro to produce a live-action film based on the board game Monopoly.
Is she going to be like the board game lady now?
That's what I was thinking. Like the Mattel,
what's after
Hasbro.
This? G.I. Joe? What do we do after?
They already said that they're making a Sims movie, and I don't know much about Sims.
And I heard that her production company is licensing it.
Yes.
Yes.
So I think this is kind of her thing, but if you just made $1 billion last year and you banked on yourself, like you...
Right, why not?
Like Hasbro's like, you want to do Monopoly next? Great, go for it. And oddly, I think a lot of people don't realize this, Monopoly was also created by a woman. So I think that that's an interesting twist, too. So we'll see where she takes it.
Yeah, maybe that's an aspect of it that she enjoys.
Yeah.
Right.
That's all I need to know about you.
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 Oh, it's time to vent. I know, you're not supposed to complain, but doesn't it feel good when you do? It's like group therapy. 1-800-330-9999. Fill in the blank. When you blank, that's all I need to know about you. Dawn.
If you jog in the worst place on the worst street, that's all I need to know about you. You can throw a stick and there's a beautiful park, but no, these people want to jog in the worst spot. There's no room. 18-wheelers are coming, trucks are coming. I'm like, are you seriously jogging here? Oh, come on.
Yeah, it makes me nervous when I see people really close to the roadway like that or in the roadway, and I feel like drivers aren't paying attention, which I feel like 40% of drivers are not paying attention all the time now.
Right. And also, like the windy roads give me anxiety when I see people walking on them.
Right. You can't anticipate everything, right? Mm-hmm. So thanks for the call. You're right. Get in the park. Of course, you know, some people are running to their destination, but, you know, go to the park.
Go to the park. You're right.
Nathaniel, that's all I need to know about you.
If you take back someone that cheated on you and admitted it, that's all I need to know about you.
This is an awkward one.
I always say every time this comes up, you got to be real careful because you don't know the whole story. Mm. And all you're going to do is get yourself in trouble.
Listen, I mean, there's all sorts of problems in people's, you know, relationships, right? And physical infidelity. Yeah, that's a big one, obviously. But for all you know, your friend is a tyrant behind closed doors, right? Is a terrible person or not engaging in any way. And if they're going to keep them, regardless, like you still probably got to spend time around both of them. Happens more than once, though? Come on. Happens more than once, then you gotta, you know, that's not something I can be a part of. Unless you guys are announcing to everybody, hey, we're open.
Mia, that's all I need to know about you.
If you give yourself a nickname, that's all I need to know about you.
Are you allowed to give yourself a nickname?
No.
No, right?
No, there's no way that it works.
I mean, cool. Like, if you could give yourself, what would you want to be called? Raven, what would you want to be called?
Besides Bradley Cooper?
Mm-hmm.
Nothing.
What would I want to be called? Like,
yeah.
Can't even think of anything cool on the spot.
Right, because that's the thing about your own nickname. If you say it out loud,
Boombastic. I want to be called Goombastic.
Cool. The opposite of cool.
No, why?
Still not cool.
No, that was cool for a long time.
Yeah, when somebody else sang it in a song about, like, it was a vibe, a feeling, it was all that. It was not a person.
Mrs. Boombastic.
Certainly wasn't. Not, see that? Still not cool. Now imagine Shaggy or Sean Paul or somebody like that calls you
Mrs. Boombastic.
Yeah, oh, yeah. Now yeah. It's different, right?
Can
different.
You call me that?
No.
No.
No. Maybe drunk in Jamaica, but that's about it.
Randy, that's all I need to know about you.
If you volunteer to drive your kids and their friends somewhere, but then bail out at the last minute so all the other parents are scrambling, that is all I need to know about you.
Now that is the worst. That is the absolute worst. When you think you finally figured out how your kid is getting to practice, how they're getting home, you've navigated all of it like a jigsaw puzzle, and then all of a sudden you get that text like, can't do drop off. You're like, oh gosh, now what?
Do it once. Okay. Mm-hmm. I resent it, but life is the way it is. Do it twice. We are no longer friend parents. Parent friends, whatever it is that our classification was, it's changing. I can promise you that.
Yeah. You've probably heard of bridal registries, baby registries, but one of the newest registries that's been all over the news and people are signing up for it left and right is divorce registries.
Oh, man.
And producer John is very upset about
it. I'm so mad. This is some absolute nonsense. I got divorced because, I mean, it's too late for me, right?
Right.
It's been 3 years.
Yeah, you can't register now with a divorce registry when you broke up 3 years ago.
I'm just saying, like, when you're getting married, you're combining incomes together, all right? You are taking what was two and making it one. You are adding, okay? When you're getting divorced, dude, you need gifts, you need things, and you need them immediately.
So, so you back the divorce registry. You're just straight mad because you didn't get to have one when you got divorced 3 years ago.
Oh, I'm sorry if that wasn't clear. Yeah, yes. This is a great idea, and I want one, and I want it now. And matter of fact, I don't care if it's been 3 years. Someone make one for me.
This feels inappropriate, but if we were just going to ask now, what would actually be on this divorce registry if you were doing it today?
I mean, are you kidding me? Of course I made a list. Come on. All right.
Yeah.
Number one, trip to Vegas. I want to go back to Vegas. I went to Vegas for my... Now, hold on. I went to Vegas for my bachelor party.
Oh,
okay.
Nice.
I want to go to Vegas now that I'm re-bachelored.
No, that's not what goes on a divorce registry.
Right.
These are things you need to live. You don't need to go to Vegas to live.
Yeah, I would think more like a refrigerator. But okay, what else
do you
have? You
know what's funny is that I don't see Anna Zapp at the top of this list.
Okay.
I see producer John at the top of this list. So I'm going to keep going. An air mattress. This is real talk. Oh,
this is good.
You got to, because, 4 months in my mom's one-bedroom apartment after I moved out, that got very uncomfortable.
You know,
she doesn't have a sofa. She does have a love seat, but I am, too tall for that.
I like that you want to register for an air mattress and not just a regular mattress.
It's got to be, portable.
Bro, you can't put a regular mattress on your mom's living room. That's disrespectful, but you can put a sick air mattress
on
there.
And then you can go the next day to your buddy's house.
That's right.
Same air mattress.
That's right.
John, if you could do it all over again, you got that divorce, what would you put on your registry?
A subscription to Tinder Gold, because regular Tinder is garbage. All right? Regular Tinder is trash.
What is Tinder Gold?
I didn't even know there was such a thing.
It's the thing where you pay for it, but then it shows you everyone who likes you. So you don't have to sit there and do the scroll. There's a list. It's like, that person liked me, no. That person liked me, yes. It's just easier. It's
I like
faster.
The idea that it just shows you the more attractive, smarter people.
Yeah, Tinder premium. Right.
The more attractive, smarter people who liked you.
Oh. Right.
That's
okay.
The trick.
Okay. Right.
That's the trick. A night of free babysitting from all of your boys. All right?
On the divorce registry?
I mean, maybe not all of them.
I was going to say.
Certain ones.
How many of your guys do you trust with your actual child?
They're the ones who are still married. and a Costco membership, all right? Because I'm not going to Whole Foods
That's
anymore.
Actually a good one.
Yeah.
All right?
I mean,
you feel like maybe the states or the feds should have a program where when you get divorced, right? Because I mean, it's expensive to get divorced. You leave, you're right. You
That's
leave
right.
with half your stuff, and sometimes you leave with less.
Less.
What if the court issued
Not
you
angry.
A Costco premium membership
I
as
like
you walk
it.
In the door?
I think it's hilarious.
Thanks for coming today, sir.
You walk out of the lawyer's office, and
right.
on the way out, they hand you an envelope. And
hey, don't forget,
here's your Costco membership.
Like a coupon book in there too, maybe.
You
got to
take
products.
That cheesy picture before you walk out of the courthouse real quick. A big smile on my face.
$1.50 hot dogs. You can really use them then.
I mean, this divorce registry, not a bad idea, right?
Ready to learn something absolutely
absolutely crazy.
I love it. Bring me the knowledge.
Raven, this showed up on my Instagram last night when I was scrolling.
Every spider you've ever carefully put a cup over and slid a piece of paper under and then gently released outside died outside.
What?
Well, yeah, man. I mean, they don't live forever. They're spiders.
No, that's not why. Because once they live in your house, they can't survive back outside. They get used to the warmth or something like that. So how can this be true?
They get
acclimated. I know it's true because I learned it from a spider scientist several years ago I met at a party. She's a real human woman named Dr. Binford, and there's a story about her in The New Yorker a while back where she went around Los Angeles capturing the world's deadliest spiders from the basements of thrift stores. But one of the people who watched this and didn't believe it was a reporter who wrote an article for the Huffington Post where she skeptically went to a bunch of spider scientists. They said I was right. Myth confirmed.
I mean, just is tracking down these spider scientists. I love it. Who are you going to call?
The spider scientist.
Right. How fascinating is the woman that you find out is the spider scientist, though, at the party?
We have interviewed spider scientists before.
We were just hanging out with one the other day that brought a big spider.
Yeah.
Yes.
They're actually fascinating people. Because spiders,
she is a fascinating person.
It's very cool when you meet a spider scientist because, like, they've got answers to everything. Spiders, even though scary and disgusting and gross and yucky, very, very good animals.
Let me be clear. Don't want them in my house.
Correct. So, what are you supposed to do with these spiders living in your house if you can't just put them outside so they can go on their merry way?
But what do you do? What do you do? The spider scientists say, you just let them go. You just nod at them, say, hello, Charlotte, and then walk away. That's a fine solution because they will eat some other bugs. They'll eat some other household spiders sometimes, and that's good.
No.
So they want me to leave my house to be a welcoming, you know, place for spiders.
And no.
You want me to allow them to thrive inside my house.
I mean, I can't sign off on that.
No.
I can't just be like, hey, spider.
Yeah.
There's something specific that I do, and you're going to think I'm insane. But here are some ideas of what you can do if you encounter a spider in your home.
Besides step on it?
Uh-huh.
Okay.
One, you could have a shed or a garage or just a big cupboard in the backyard, and you put them all in there and let them fight. You could just abandon the room that you find them in. Just give it to them. That's the spider's house now. And I'm sorry if your child is in there. Hopefully the spiders will raise them well. Spiders can't live outside of a house. It doesn't mean it has to be your house. You can put them in your neighbor's house.
There you go. That's some great options.
You bag them somehow and bring them over to your neighbor's.
Just let it go and like right in their kitchen.
You know what? This is one of the more interesting internet-type doctors that I enjoy what he's saying.
Well,
here.
Here's what I do.
Yeah.
When I have a spider, like I feel bad. I can't kill a spider. I know they're important. I know it's terrible. I don't do it. But what I do is, oh my gosh, I can't believe I'm going to say this out loud. I give them a fighting chance. So what I do is I take them and I fold them. I get them and I fold them in the toilet paper or a paper towel.
Yeah, but like you don't crush them.
No, I don't crush them. Yeah. I put them in there gently. Then I throw them in the garbage.
Yeah.
And I say, if you can make it out... you can go live your life freely.
I guess it's better than, you know, calling that tissue paper a boat and throwing them in the toilet. I guess they've got more of a chance.
They go in the garbage. If they could climb out and they could figure out how to go survive on their own somewhere else and they made it out of the tissue paper.
Right. You're free.
They're fighters. Those are the kind of spiders I want living in my house. Good ones that can figure out how to get out of paper towels in my garbage.
You hear that, spiders? You're on notice. Be tougher.
Yeah. Did you ever get a suggestion on social media, like an ad that was targeted towards you or says you should join this group, and immediately you were like, what? Why am I getting this? This doesn't make any sense.
I'm not one of those people. Right. I shouldn't be included in this group.
At first, I was offended that the algorithm directed me to join the dull women's group.
What?
But then I started looking at it, and I was like, oh, these robots know me better than I know myself.
Wait a minute. So a dull women's group is just something like, you know, Facebook didn't start this for itself, right? Mm-hmm. So somebody actually did, thought it was a good idea, and there's an administrator and all that. There must be.
Oh, yeah. Facebook has a lot of strange groups.
Yeah.
Maybe you're a part of some of them, but there's one with almost 900,000 followers that are a part of it.
Wow.
And it's called the Dull Women's Group, and it's a public group, and it says that it will not approve all posts or people that want to join. They say they get up to 3,000 requests a day from women that want to be part of the dull women's group.
I mean, it's exclusive, yet it's exclusive to nearly a million people.
Yep.
That's quite something.
So how do you get approved to be part of the group? You have to explain why you're dull, and then oddly, it wants you to include your shoe size and how many bananas you eat. So I fell into the hole last night.
Yeah.
I came up and I'm like, oh, and I honestly don't spend a lot of time on Facebook. So this, I was captured by this.
Mm-hmm.
I started reading about all these dull women. And I was like, these are my people.
Really?
Yes.
You found similarities.
Valerie writes, my slippers are about 10 years old, and today I picked out a bunch of dog hair that accumulated in between the sides and the insole. Size 7 shoe.
Felt like it was a big deal. Felt like it was progress.
That was her big day.
Yeah.
Patricia says, I make videos on fiber arts for a living, and I love spinning, knitting, weaving, and dyeing. I wear a size 9.5 shoe.
I mean, dyeing your own things that you wove.
Mm-hmm.
That's crazy.
Emily says that she enjoys junk journaling and kimchi preparation.
Okay.
I don't know what either of those things are, but now I'm intrigued.
Eating the kimchi is, you know, it's the spicy food, right? Mm-hmm. And then your junk journaling, she's just writing nonsense in her book.
Tanya says she doesn't eat bananas, and shoe size depends on how many Lay's salt and vinegar chips she's eaten that day. But she says she talks to people at the office every day because she has to, and then she gets her nails done once a month. That's her life.
Raven, I can play this game.
All right, if you were gonna try to join the Dull Women's Group on Facebook, what would your thing say?
1 to 2 bananas a day, but not more than 8 in a week, because when it comes to Friday, like, I don't typically go with the banana.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. Size 11.5 or 12 shoe, depends on the brand, right? What the fit is. As far as dull stuff goes, I've seen Jaws. Top Gun, what would be another? Die Hard, I've seen all three of those movies over 1,000 times. If one of them is on today, I'll watch it again.
It's weird.
I'll watch it every single time.
Yeah.
I've gotten the same sandwich every time I've ordered a sandwich for probably the last 30 years. It's ham and cheese with lettuce, tomato, and mayonnaise. That's all that is in my
pretty
sandwich.
Pretty dull.
Yeah. I have sat in the same 100-square-foot area of a public beach every time I have gone there, at least the last decade.
Oh.
I sit right there. And if that area is not available, I get super close to whoever's in that area so that they move because they're uncomfortable.
I did mine too, Raven. Do you want to know what makes me part of the Dull Women's
Club? I would love to.
Sometimes I just sit in my closet on the floor and hide from my family and sit in silence. I can't stay awake to watch any of the shows or movies that everyone is watching or talking about.
That closet one, is that dull or sad? Okay.
I go to bed at 8 o'clock every night.
Oh, I wish I could.
I have a black pair of Gap sweatpants that I call my spirit animal. And my shoe pre-pregnancy was size 7. Post-pregnancy, size 7.5. I'm lying. It's actually 8 now.
Oh.
I know. Do you ever get into one of those situations when you're at a party or you're like in the hallway at work and you start talking to somebody and like you don't want to talk to this person anymore, but you don't know how to end that conversation without being rude? And then it gets a little bit awkward and there's only so many times you can say, wow, yeah, that's crazy.
You know, just mentioning it or agreeing with you in this conversation is going to put me in jeopardy with 3 or 4 people that I need for them to think that I like them.
How do you get out of these conversations, these small talk conversations? Joining us, it's Karen Thomas. She is one of the nation's foremost authorities when it comes to etiquette. You can find her online at ktetiquette.com. Karen, how do you get out of this without like looking like a fool or being mean or people thinking that you're rude?
This is a great question, and you have to be fast thinking on your feet when this happens. So what I would say is a couple things. Gee, look at the time. I've got to get to and insert here, meeting, staff meeting or something if it's at work or, you know, things like that to not make them feel bad. Or, gee, that's great. You know, I don't have the time to finish this conversation now, but it was great seeing you. Maybe we could catch up later. Make up little excuses or things like that so they're not feeling like you're just cutting them off and saying, that's nice, bye, you know, you're boring. So you want to make sure you're keeping their feelings first and foremost in your mind.
You know, Anna, Karen, I have a great idea, all right, both of you. And this is the first person that I'm looking to hire when I win the Powerball, all right, or the Mega Millions, whichever one's going to make me a billionaire.
Okay.
You need to hire a person that is going to be your fall guy, your ultimate wingman.
Yep.
Now, this person, preferably for me, would also be a bodyguard, limousine driver, personal chef, trainer, dental hygienist and barber that all lives in my house and gets one salary and handles all these things.
Okay.
But as soon as they see you in an uncomfortable conversation, they immediately come up and they're the rude one. They're like, sorry, he's got to go to this. Almost like you're the president being whisked away.
Right. But most people don't have that person. That person doesn't actually exist for, I would say, 99.9% of people.
I'm just saying, if you're listening, lottery winner, make it the first person you hire.
Yeah. I have some friends that they know that if I give them like a certain look, they come and they interrupt and they take me away and they do that. And I don't have to pay them anything. They're just my friends.
They take me away.
But, you know, it's one thing when you're like at work, but when you're at a party, that's different because now you're kind of like trapped talking to somebody you barely know. Or if you're at like one of those networking events, first of all, I could not be more awkward at networking events because you start a conversation and then you don't know how to get away from the person to go talk to somebody else. And I can't say to the person, I got to go jump on a Zoom because we're there to network. So what do I do in that situation, Karen?
This is something that we talk about in my networking masterclass. This situation is going to come up. If you want to look at them and say, oh, you know what? And again, we're making up excuses. This is not, I'm not saying you should lie. However, to get out of the conversation, oh, gee, you know what? That's great, so-and-so, but I see somebody across the room that I've got to go talk to. Maybe I could talk to you later. Thanks so much. Or gee, I'd like to go grab a coffee. Can I get you one? And, you know, these are kind of excuses, but they're not rude to cut that conversation off to get you out of that situation and move you away.
You know what? If they say yes, they'd like a coffee, I grab it, but I put it down on the wrong table. Sorry. Sorry, I can't come back to you. You're going to suck me in like a tractor beam here, all right? I got to work this room.
It is one of those uncomfortable situations, but prep yourself ahead of time so you can make those comments and then be ready to go and you're not being rude.
Harden your heart, Anna. Harden your heart.
Anytime you hear me say, I got to run, I got to jump on a Zoom, know that I'm lying. All right, Karen Thomas, you can find her online at ktetiquette.com. Thank you, Karen.
Anna and Raven's Pick'em News.
Here we go. Three news stories. Number one, suspect leads officers on chase, drives car off cliff, Thelma and Louise style.
I mean, how big is this cliff, right? Let's find out.
All right. Number two, man caught making love to woman's car.
Oh, come on, man.
Don't pick that one.
You got to let it go.
Number three, woman finds nearly 8-foot alligator in her home.
Well, I mean, of course, I already saw that one. Let's be honest. All right. Let's go with car driving off a cliff.
Okay, fair enough. Here was in the news. What was going on?
We begin tonight with a wild police chase on the North Fork that ended with a car tumbling down a 50-foot cliff. And that vehicle wound up in the Long Island Sound, and the driver was arrested.
So a guy...
Well, he made it.
He did. No, he's totally fine. So this guy slashed his ex-wife's tires.
Okay.
Cool. Got into a high-speed chase with police at times over 100 miles per hour.
I mean, I just don't understand this. They're going to catch you. Uh-huh. No matter if they do it at your house or whatever, they're going to find you.
So he decided to Thelma and Louise it off a 50-foot cliff. He survived. He landed right in the Long Island Sound.
Yeah.
Here is the police chief, Martin Flatley, talking about the chase.
He drove through the guardrail and ended up off the cliff and bouncing off the beach and into the Long Island Sound.
Like what? Like why? Why did you think this was a good idea?
I mean, it's got to be great video though, right?
Oh, well, there's video and drones of it afterwards. Here's like the part that made me giggle.
The car was a rental from Florida and was under 3 to 4 feet of water. Police officers rushed down the stairs to the beach and found the driver conscious with non-life-threatening injuries.
But, like, what did he think was going to happen after he went off that cliff? Like, everything was just going to be fine?
Well,
they're
going to
let him go?
Nobody would catch him.
Let him go.
Yeah, we can't get down there to the beach.
Yeah,
apparently,
nope.
He's going to, you know, get away this time. I mean, the rental car is in your name, bro. It's in your name.
I was thinking about it. I was like, if you could recreate a scene from a movie.
Yeah.
What would that scene be? Because for me, Thelma and Louise is certainly the cliff. No, that's not the one I would pick.
I mean, I've got lots of choices that would be great. But if we're going to play this game, I'll go with the Matrix off the top of my head. The scene where he saves Trinity. Well, you know what? You listen. That noise, Anna?
Yeah.
Is him holding up a helicopter.
Oh.
The helicopter is crashing into a building, and he grabs this chain attached to the helicopter, and then she shoots the chain at the last minute, holds onto the chain, swings out of the helicopter before it crashes into a building, and that's how you know, like, you know, he's Neo, he's the one.
All right. If I was going to recreate a movie, again, I would not choose the Thelma and Louise scene, but I would, you know, I'm such a realist. I'm like, what would I actually be able to do? Like a scene
So it would also be The Matrix?
No. I'm the king of the world! I would choose from Titanic, where he stands in front of the boat and he puts his arm out. I'm like, I could do that. And then you know what else I could do?
What?
I'll never let go. I promise.
I could be just like Rose, say, I'll never let go. And then I would immediately let go of him so I could save myself and get to the boat that was going to bring me safely to shore.
Your internal instinct of self-preservation is, I'm not going to argue it.
Right. What's the thing that traumatized you for life? No death, no murder. 1-800-330-9999. Otherwise, we know those calls will come.
Yep.
Producer Sean, what happened?
Excuse me, I'm sorry. So a long time ago, I think I was about 10 or 11, me and my family had seafood. I had gotten salmon, and I had gotten such bad food poisoning for it. I'm talking like I was sick for like 2.5 weeks. I was taken out of school. It was like terrible, and it's to the point now where I can't eat any kind of seafood. It doesn't matter if it's sushi, you know, salmon, lobster, crab, clams, nothing. I can't eat it. Like we were at my mom's house over the weekend, and they all had like a big seafood dinner, and I had to order something specifically for myself because like just the smell of it puts me back to when I was like 10 or 11 and like wanting to just die.
So you remember when you were younger that it smelled rank? Because I mean, you know, I guess you must have been real young, because when you're an adult and you get some seafood and it smells rank, don't put it in your mouth. Yeah. Let me just advise you on that
one. Sometimes you don't even realize it. It happened to me, I would say maybe about like 7 or 8 years ago, that I was at a restaurant and I was just eating my food and I had ordered salmon and I just bit into it. And I like sushi. I have no problem with it. But it was like a cooked salmon and the middle was completely raw. And it's funny because like raw salmon sushi doesn't bother me.
Yeah, if you were a bear.
But biting into that salmon like that.
And expecting it to be cooked fully.
It was like 2 years before I could eat seafood again. Mm-hmm. Something about seafood, when you have a bad experience, it could turn you off for a long time.
I still can't. I still can't do it. Just the smell of it alone just disgusts me. I can't be in like the presence of people who eat seafood.
When I went to Ozfest and Summer Sanitarium in the middle of the hot, hot summer and drank a fifth of Southern Comfort. It seemed like such a great idea at first. Me and this one other person, and it tasted so delicious going down. I have never been able to do it since then. I can't even smell it at this point. I wasn't right for days.
Kathy wrote that on our Facebook page. She said, Goldschlager, never again.
I mean, that's even when you were young, right? Mm-hmm. Where typically you just, you know, you could bounce back the next day. Nope, never again.
Evan, what traumatized you for life?
All right. When I was about 6 years old, my dad agreed to get me a kitten, and it was a really cute kitten, but one day I was just laying on the bed, like belly down, and the cat jumped up and grabbed onto the back of my toes with its claws, and it was hanging from there, and I couldn't get the claw out for like a minute. But like to a kid, that's insane. Now, you'd think that would just go away and you'd forget about it, no big deal, but as an adult now, I constantly have nightmares about cats digging their claws into my skin and I can't get them out.
Wow.
That's weird, man.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's weird. I mean, I don't know how to help you with that. You should probably.
Well, if you have an incident with an animal when you're young, that stays with you.
Well.
So I used to go. So I remember when I was in preschool, my parents brought. I went to a place that was all nuns. And the nuns were mean. Mm-hmm. They were mean nuns.
Sure.
And there was a rabbit there. And I remember the first day that rabbit bit my finger. And that rabbit bit my finger hard. And ever since, like, I don't trust rabbits, you know?
I mean, you shouldn't have your hand near the mouth of a rabbit. I mean, that's pretty good straightforward. That's a healthy fear. You don't need to trust rabbits. You're not living with them every day.
I don't like rabbits.
That's okay. Mm. Makes sense, right? You get bit by a dog or something. Like, I get it. Yeah. I understand. It'll stick with you for sure.
Same thing with kittens.
Yeah, I don't know.
What happened that traumatized you for life? No death, no murder.
Yeah, yeah. One time I crashed my 10-speed and slid about 20 yards on my face on the asphalt. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I don't like 10-speeds to this day. I'll ride any other style of bike. 10-speed, I don't want to get on it.
When I was very young, I would say probably like under 5 years old, I was visiting my family in Italy and a giant wave pulled me under.
Mm.
And ever since then, I don't go in past my knees.
I got stung by two wasps at a party on either shoulder when I was like 7 or 8 years old. I don't mess with beehives at all. Nope.
1-800-330-9999. Frank, what traumatized you for life?
Hey, back in the early 90s, my wife and I adopted a baby from Paraguay, South America. And in the hotel, if you had a baby in the room, they wouldn't spray for the cockroaches. So if you just get this. If they don't spray in your room and they spray in everybody else's room, they were all going to come over. So in the bed, while we were sleeping, of course, they're in there. You have them crawling all over you, and there's just no way to get them off. So now that traumatized me so much that even now, once in a while, I'll have a nightmare that the cockroaches are still all over me, and I can't get them off. I go running out of the bed screaming. So,
how long were you in that hotel room?
It was 8 weeks.
Oh, my gosh. The things you'll do for love, right?
Yes.
Thank you very much for sharing your story.
I can't even think about it. I feel them. I feel them on my face.
You know, we ended up doing putting tape around our arms, our wrists and ankles, my wife and I, so at least they didn't get in our pajamas. You know?
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, my God.
What
okay.
a crazy thing to have to think about.
Yeah.
Michelle, what traumatized you for life? What happened?
So we were on vacation one time, and we bought four beautiful lobsters, and we stuffed the tail, put it in the oven, and it was a gas stove. And somewhere along the cooking process, the pilot light went out, and the shell was red, so we assumed that it was done, and broke into it, and it was lobster goo.
Oh, yeah. Castaway. Nice.
Even the eggs of lobsters. Disgust me. I always have to say male only. Isn't that weird?
That is weird.
The green eggs. Oh.
Oh, no. People love those. Some people, that's a delicacy. Anna and Raven, who's this?
Hey, this is Kathy. How you doing?
Wonderful. Kathy, what traumatized you for life?
When I was three, we moved from Queens to the suburbs, and my mother knew that I was an animal lover, and I had never seen a squirrel. So she kept saying, don't go near them. They will bite you, and you will die of rabies. So to this day, if there's a squirrel in my path, I have to cross the street. I've been late to work because they've been on my steps and just absolutely terrified of squirrels now.
Wow.
Wow. Yeah. Well, they're everywhere. Look out.
Yeah, exactly. Veronica, what scarred you for life? No death, no murder.
Yeah, please.
No, what scarred me for life was we raised chickens in West Islip, and my father would make me go out and get the chicken eggs. And the chickens were eye to eye with me, and they would scare me and run after me. And he told me to be a big girl and go get the eggs, but I could never do it.
Yeah. It's so funny. Somebody wrote on our Facebook page, I once bought eggs from a friend from her farm. About a week later, I tried cracking it in a pan for breakfast, and no yolk. It was a furry chicken, the egg. I don't know if I could ever eat eggs again if that happened to me.
Yeah.
My problem is my neighbor now has chickens, and they keep coming over.
Oh, yes. They just want to be friends.
One couple.
Why would he go all the way to Oregon for this job when our life isn't there?
One problem.
Create so many opportunities for the family. I mean, we already have one kid in college already. And
you decide the outcome.
I think that it's going to be really hard on us.
It's just going to create so many opportunities.
Go and take work, guys. Good luck.
It's Couple Score on the Anna and Raven Show.
Every day, a couple joins us. They let us know what their disagreement is about. And then you just have to decide who you think is right. Jacqueline and Jared, what's going on? Jacqueline, let's start with you.
So we have these neighbors, and I guess you can call it a copycat kind of syndrome. So every time we do something, they do something. So, for instance, we bought a new Honda Pilot, and it was white. And then, like, what was it, dear? Like a month later, maybe, they had the same kind of car. And then we got new siding on our house, and it was like, oh, my God, that looks so good. And they wanted to know the name of the company. So we figured, okay, we can get a referral because we get a referral fee. Not only did they use the same company, they got the same siding and the same shade of gray. Oh. So it's beginning to be a little bit weird. We adopted a pet. They asked for the information, and guess what they did?
Well, that's nice, I guess.
They adopted a pet, too. Now, Jared thinks, you know, he wants to confront them, but I'm like, what are you going to say and what are you going to accuse them with?
Well,
like,
that's a good
I really
question.
Don't see anything.
Yeah,
I don't see anything wrong with it.
Jared, what are you going to say to these people?
Man, I just want to know, like, why would you copy us in so many ways? There's so many other, you know, cars out there. There's other colors that you could paint your house. It just seems like, you know, they overly admire us or something like that. And I just want to know, like, why do you want to be like us so bad? And why don't you want to be an individual that makes your own decision?
That sounds like a wonderful conversation. Mm. I can't wait to watch the two of you do that in my neighborhood. That sounds hilarious. What color is the house?
It's gray.
It's like a gray. Yeah, like a light gray. But we're cool people. I mean, like, why wouldn't you want somebody to admire you? I don't feel creepy about it. Yeah. I mean, we're pretty dope, right? Jared, you agree? We're dope.
Yeah.
So.
I mean, I would hope so that you feel that way. Right. But.
Yeah, it makes me uncomfortable.
Yeah, I mean, like, listen, there's a moment where something feels like flattery, right? And then there's a time where it crosses that line and you're like, okay, man. Plus, you know, listen, I'm the person that's driving in the neighborhood. For all I know, your neighbors are the cool ones and you guys are the copycats. So now we got a big issue here, right? The car thing, you know, I mean, if you like your car and they see, you know, how you're using it and so forth, I understand why people like cars. And I mean, that's a popular car. Mm-hmm. If you feel like that's the car you want, you know, then, you know, it's a big choice. It's a big investment to go out and get another one just so it doesn't, you know, look the same as your neighbor's. The house thing, a lot of people doing gray houses, black windows right now, but it still gets weird. The pet thing, like, okay.
Stop telling them where you're getting your stuff from.
Right. Yeah. Hide your logos, right? You know, I don't know.
Never again.
I mean, it's a valid question. Do you actually say something or don't you? Do you like them? Are they cool people?
Yeah, they were pretty decent. We're not like super close, but we say
hi. Yeah, like, we don't have drinks. We don't go out together or anything like that. But
you wave in the front yard.
Yeah, that kind of thing. That kind of, and when they ask, you know, they kind of do it in general conversations.
Right.
And, you know, when you're having general conversation, you just kind of say what they ask or, you know, give them the answer.
Yeah, you don't feel like you have to say, don't get the same dog. Right. Yeah. I mean, your dog's probably into it, but, you know, I get what you're saying, right? I mean, you know.
If you have a neighbor that is constantly copying you, do you say something to them? Or you just keep your mouth shut and you're like, all right, they say imitation is the greatest form of flattery.
1-800-330-9999. Whose side are you on? It's the Couples Court with Anna and Raven.
If you realize that your neighbors were essentially copying everything that you were doing at your home, would you confront them about it or would you not say a word?
I mean, when you're past a certain age, can you even use the word copying when you're talking about different things that are going on with your neighbors?
Mimicking? Is that a better word?
I mean, I guess, right?
Yeah, Jacqueline and Jared are having this issue right now. Their neighbor bought the exact same car, Honda Pilot, white. They asked them who they used to do the siding on their house, hired the same people, and did the same color, the same gray, but it's gray, like
everybody's kind of doing gray right now.
Yeah, they adopted a dog. Guess what? They went to the same rescue agency and adopted a dog too. Yeah. I mean, these are a lot of things. And Jared says, like, we have to say something about this. We have to, like, say to them, like, what are you guys doing here? And, well, Jacqueline definitely disagrees.
I hope everybody on the block uses the same adoption agency and they all go out and get dogs, right? Maybe one of them should get a fence and they can all copy each other and get fences too. Good fences make for good neighbors, Anna. It's not a big deal.
Let's go to social media on our Facebook page at Anna and Raven. Kimberly says, her side, imitation is the highest form of flattery, even though it's annoying. I would just stop talking to them and pretend they don't exist. Eventually, they will move on to flattering somebody else.
I mean, do you think so? Because then again, that's kind of creepy obsession, right? Like, lose your focus on me.
On our text line, I'm on the wife's side. As much as it is annoying, the adult thing to do is ignore it. I have to say, the hardest part of being an adult for me, one of the things besides having to pay a mortgage and taking care of my children, is
and responsibilities and work and all that stuff.
All those things is learning to ignore things and not saying things and keeping your mouth shut. Mm. I think that is a hard lesson to learn. But what do you think? Would you say something? 1-800-330-9999. If your neighbors were obsessed with you, copying everything that you did, would you confront them about them or would you keep your mouth shut? Because that's exactly what Jacqueline and Jared's neighbors are doing. Well, that's what they think anyway. They bought the same car, Honda Pilot, same color, white. When they redid the siding on their house over a few months ago, they reached out to them, asked who did the work. They hired the same contractors and put the same color siding up. They adopted a dog from a rescue. They went and adopted a dog from a rescue. Same rescue.
You know what? I can remember certain years that cars were so popular, whether it be affordability, as far as, you know, safety or anything like that goes. And it seemed like everybody in the neighborhood had one. There's many SUVs nowadays, right? So when you talk about a big, you know, significant investment like a car, you say to yourself, I mean, that's a commitment for 4, 5, 6 years, maybe more for some people, right? We're going to have to look at the same car in their driveway every day. And that just weirds Jared out.
Yeah, and Jared wants to confront them and say something about this. But Jacqueline's like, what are we going to say? What do you think? Would you say something? 1-800-330-9999. Looking at our text line, Meredith says, I'm on her side. There is no scenario that conversation will be received well. They aren't doing horrible things. Is it weird? Yes, but I wouldn't say anything if they really aren't doing anything horrible.
I mean, is the reception what you're worried about, or are you just trying to put them on notice? I don't know.
I'm with the wife here. Like, it's not that big of a deal, you know? Like, what if it's not about them? They might not even realizing what they're doing. Hmm. They're making a big deal out of nothing. They should be flattered. It's basic decisions. It's not like they're doing the exact same stuff. They might not even realize what they're doing. If anything, they should be flattered.
I tend to agree. How do you know for sure they're copying you? You know?
When you come out and you're like in a parking lot at a grocery store or whatever, and let's say the exact same car is parked next to yours, do you immediately compare the two of them?
No, I just try to make sure I get into the right one that belongs to me.
Hey, Des, what do you think? Whose side are you on today?
I'm on the husband's side. It's one thing to be, like, admired, and it's one thing to be obsessed. Mm-hmm. This is giving obsession.
Yeah? Yeah, feeling a little bit, you know, like they're infatuated with what it is that you're doing?
Just stop talking to them. I don't understand, like, why you got to keep talking to them.
That's crazy.
But let's say you do stop talking to them, and they're still buying your stuff. Not resolved.
I mean, you just gotta...
That's weird.
It's weird. You're right. It is,
like,
weird.
How old are they?
Yeah.
I mean, they have Google just like anybody else. They are aware that there are similar products to what it is that they like, but different stuff.
The verdict is in. Jury foreman, what are the results?
Jacqueline, our audience agreed with you. Jared, you can't say something. What are you going to say? You can't say something. You can't accuse them of copying you. You just have to take it in stride and hope that's the end of it.
Yeah. That's cool.
Yeah, I'm thinking about changing the color of my house now.
Hey, just, you know, anybody that pulls up in the neighborhood and be like, we did it first. Mm-hmm. We did it first.
Yeah, I don't want to seem like I'm the copycat in this situation.
Well, that's it. I mean, if I'm driving through the town and you know, if I'm the delivery guy or whatever, I have no way of knowing. So you've lost your cool. I see what happened.
Exactly.
If you have a problem, too, send an email, couplescore@annaandraven.com.
Can't beat Raven.
The Can't Beat Raven Cash Jackpot is $800. Thanks to Olay Indulgent Moisture Body Wash for glowing skin in 14 days. 5 luxurious scents available online and in stores near you. All right, Marsha, you ready to play?
Sure.
Can you please ask Raven to leave the room?
Raven, please leave the room.
You got it, Marsha. Good luck.
Okay. All right, so Raven's walking out of here. That door is going to close. He won't be able to hear us. It's a soundproof studio. It's 5 questions, Marsha. You just need to get more right than Raven, but ties go to Raven, okay?
Got it.
All right, these questions are a little bit tricky, but I think you can actually beat them if you do well with them. Here we go. Number one, Robert Downey Jr. says he would love to reprise his role as Iron Man. It's part of who he is. He recently won his first Academy Award for what movie?
Oppenheimer.
Number two, despite rumors that Gwen Stefani and Blake Shelton's marriage is on the rocks, she says it's not true. Sometimes she gets paranoid, but she's in love with her best friend. They met on the site of what competition show?
The Voice.
Number three, Conan O'Brien returned as a guest on The Tonight Show, and it was his first time back since he was let go as host in 2010. He's promoting his new travel show, Conan O'Brien Must Go. What streaming service is that going to be on?
I don't know. Hulu.
Number four, people have expressed concern for Jackie Chan after images of him online said he wasn't looking so good. He says he's doing fine. It's just the way he's looking for a new role in a movie he's working on. In the film Kung Fu Panda, what character does Jackie Chan voice? That's time. Number five, Margot Robbie will direct the new Monopoly movie that they're going to make. Park Place and Boardwalk are the most expensive properties on the Monopoly board. What color are they?
Blue.
Okay, let me bring Raven back in.
Yo.
3 out of 5 for Marsha.
All right, not bad. $800. Let's see how I do.
Robert Downey Jr. says he would love to reprise his role as Iron Man. It's part of who he is. He recently won his first Academy Award for what movie?
Oppenheimer.
Yes. Number two, despite rumors that Gwen Stefani and Blake Shelton's marriage is on the rocks, she says it's not true. Sometimes she just gets paranoid, but she's in love with her best friend.
Okay.
They met on the site of what competition show?
The Voice.
That's right. I would be sad if something happened to them. There's something about them that I absolutely love.
Well, let's just wish them the best.
Number three, Conan O'Brien returned as a guest on The Tonight Show. It was his first time back since he was let go as host in 2010.
Yeah.
He's promoting his new travel show, Conan O'Brien Must Go. What streaming service is that going to be on?
It's going to be on Max.
That's right. Number four, people have expressed concern for Jackie Chan after images of him online. It wasn't looking so good. Mm. But he says he is fine. His health is fine. He only looks that way for a new role that he's currently working on.
All right, give the man a break. He's an actor.
In the film Kung Fu Panda, what character did Jackie Chan voice?
Oh, boy. Oh, is he the turtle guy? What's... I don't know.
Monkey.
No.
Number five, Margot Robbie will direct the new Monopoly movie. Park Place and Boardwalk are the most expensive properties on the Monopoly board. What color are they?
They're blue.
That's right, blue. Dark blue, technically, but we'll take blue. Marsha, I'm sorry, he beat you 4-3 today. That's going to get you an Ann on Raven t-shirt.
Okay, I'm Marsha, and I can't beat Raven.
Better luck next time. Enjoy that shirt, girl. $900 tomorrow, Anna.